This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
That's the best part about some of these iconic Astros playoff calls. Bobby Dynamite coming in the background, blasting that horn. Hell yeah, dude.
I do love Bobby Dynamite. I feel like it's not as loud as it used to be. Maybe I'm, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way they do the TV broadcast now, but I feel like you don't hear it as prevalently.
That's true, I think.
Like, it really does stand out on those calls, like, how loud it is.
Probably better crowd mics on Fox than on City Home Network.
I think it's a World Series thing.
Yeah, they juiced it up a little
bit. They probably also crank the horn a little bit. They probably also bump up the volume a little bit on the train because it's going to be a louder crowd.
That's true.
They have to get it over the crowd noise.
I like that. Yeah, because, I mean, these days, you know, Minute Maid Park crowds... they are lacking.
Yeah, you'll get a noise complaint from the neighbors if Bobby Dynamite.
Challenge for everybody, because as Joe said earlier in the show, this is the Astros' third World Series of the year. They have won their first two. They swept the Baltimore Orioles. They took down the Seattle Mariners last weekend, 2-3. You guys got to show up. You can't be acting like y'all were in that series against the Minnesota Twins in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. You guys were dead. It was low energy. I didn't like it. Against the Rangers, people came to play. But just like that one Seattle Mariners fan online said, like, they're coming to our park and we're going to scare them with our noise.
Yeah.
That's how I actually want you guys to approach this weekend's games. If you're going to any of these Astros-Dodgers games, I want your voice hoarse. I want you showing up to work on Monday and for your boss to be concerned about your well-being. Not because you're hungover, because your voice is ragged.
But maybe hungover too, if you feel like it.
How's your voice doing, by the way? This is your flu game.
Actually, I feel good. I was a little worried.
Smoked a cigar.
Yeah, I had a cigar last night.
Had a bottle of wine.
Yeah, we had a cigar event at my wife's restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Zimiti's, Houston Restaurant Week. It's happening right now. We're a proud sponsor this year, media partner for Houston Restaurant Week. I was a little worried this morning when I woke up.
Hey, listen, it affects the voice. As somebody who used to, in a past radio life, have somebody on my radio show every single day who may or may not have had a good deal of wine to drink every night, and then during his interviews would be coughing and clearing his throat the whole time. It doesn't help your voice. Nope, not saying the name of that person. Just saying that that's.
I'm just pondering. I know you're not going to say it, so I'm pondering in my mind. If I can guess it in my head before you tell me during the break.
And to the trade deadline we go. Baseball, it's a sport, and its trade deadline is less than a week away. And the first big move of baseball's pre-trade deadline season is that the Seattle Mariners traded for the Rays, Randy Arozarena, an outfielder. For those who don't know, Arozarena's had some really incredible success in the 2020 American League Championship Series against the Astros, the 2023 World Baseball Classic. He plays big on the biggest stages, but this year he is slashing .211, .318, .394, 15 homers, 16 stolen bases. The Mariners needed someone to help juice their offense. This helps, though I do wonder if this is also a move of desperation, hoping that it'll actually turn into something great for Seattle.
Yeah, it helps them now, but it doesn't make them a great offense. I mean, they're the worst offense in baseball, basically.
You're hoping to go from worst to bad with this move.
Yeah.
And they're probably not done. I mean, they need to make more moves happen for sure.
But will they make an expensive move? Like, that's why I'm so curious, like, what they're going to do.
It doesn't feel like they're all in. It feels like this is a move that they made because they've been getting criticized of late for not being aggressive. But it doesn't feel like they're going to do something after that. And I say that as someone who used to cover the team and just doesn't really respect their lack of commitment to winning.
This is what do they say? 54% is their goal.
They're looking to, over the course of the next decade, win 54% of their games.
Yeah, like this is a move that helps you win 54% of your games this season.
For sure.
So it's if that's really your goal,
because you're winning 30% of your games right now.
Yeah, that's going to help you probably get there by the end of the season. It's, you know, a team that you have a situation where your first baseman, you cut Ty France, and you put a prospect in there, and the Rays have two first basemen available for trade. Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times, he's now adding in that the Astros are interested in acquiring Yandy Diaz, who the Rays are activating off the restricted list today.
So the Rays are just getting rid of everybody.
Yeah, so it looks like they're going into full sell mode at this point. And the Rays and the Astros are being connected on three players now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to take a wild guess and say that when the deadline is over here next week, a new player will come from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it does seem that way. By the way, the Astros did not get James Paxton from the Los Angeles Dodgers, as a lot of people had been beating the drum for, because the Boston Red Sox, they got him. They traded a minor league infielder for the 35-year-old pitcher. LA had designated him for assignment on Monday. He has a 4.43 ERA over the course of the year. I know a lot of people were pushing for Paxton, and I wouldn't have hated it, but Paxton likely would get hurt. I feel like with Paxton, it is a ticking time bomb. He's just had absolutely brutal luck on that front.
And you want more. You want more than Paxton. Like the pushback that was there when we were talking about it, I understand it. You want a better pitcher than that. But it was also it's a sense of desperation, from my perspective at least, when talking about acquiring Paxton, if the Astros could have done it, because I don't want to see Jake Bloss pitch anymore. He's just not ready yet. Like, it's no offense to him, but he's a minor league guy.
Yeah, the Paxton stuff was more of I just want James Paxton, A, for free, B, for four starts, until just to buy this rotation some time to get healthy, and you're not paying a lot for those four starts.
Also of note, as far as pitchers, this is somebody that the Astros potentially could have gone after. Somebody that I literally had never heard of until Joe George brought him up to me. Joe George knows ball. Do I? I try.
I think you know ball.
I try. It's too much. There's too many things. There's too many random bits of history and words of the French language to know to pay attention to teams that aren't the Houston Astros. But Garrett Crochet is pulling a Josh Hader. What does that mean? Well, Josh Hader recently... How many years ago was this? Was this a year and a half ago? Basically told the Milwaukee Brewers, don't pitch me past a certain point without an extension.
Yep.
Well, now, Garrett Crochet, his reps are telling teams he will not pitch in the playoffs without a contract extension, and he doesn't want to go to the bullpen. This is one of the best numbered pitchers in all of baseball. Per Alden Gonzalez, an ESPN baseball reporter, he is not going to play in the playoffs unless you give him an extension. This is ballsy.
I mean, I
why would you want to stay on the White Sox?
I love the move, just because it just shows like how confident you are in yourself.
Player empowerment.
I mean, you know, this is his first year starting games for the White Sox. He was drafted as a starter out of Tennessee, and they called him up the year he got drafted to pitch out of the bullpen to make a playoff push in 2020. And he finally put him in the rotation. So, like, I get why that part of the deal is, hey, I'm not going back to the bullpen. I'm a starter. Don't even think about it. I don't know why any team would. But I just love this idea of, like, hey, I'm not coming unless you give me a deal. And maybe he's confident that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, like, also, I think if I was the other team, I would test it.
Yeah.
Like, well, does this help or hurt his trade value? I assume it hurts the White Sox here.
It hurts the White Sox. I don't know if it hurts his trade value necessarily, because
Because if I'm, let's just,
well,
as
actually,
an example,
you know what? No, that's dumb. That's dumb by me. Sorry, I'm talking out of my butt for a second there. No, that's a move that definitely hurts whatever the White Sox could theoretically get for him. So maybe this is him just trying to pull an FU on the White Sox too.
Yeah.
He's sick of it here or there.
But like, it's like if you're the Astros, now you have to trade prospects and you have to give him a contract so he can pitch in the playoffs. So I'm not giving you good prospects.
I think it's I want to lock in a starter deal. And a good starter deal. Because is this his first year starting? Because I know he was a bullpen guy for a while.
Yeah, it's his first year.
It's his first year starting.
That's why I never heard of him. That makes me feel better.
He's been awesome this first half of the season, this first 100 games of the season. And so I see it more as I want to lock in the I'm a good starter price right now on my next team. I don't want to either have to play out the string or move back to the bullpens. Like, no, I'm a starter. I'm the best starter available at the deadline. Pay me like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what this is about.
Interesting. We'll see what happens on that front. A very ballsy move, though. So there is some trade deadline drama going on, but nothing really percolating for the Houston Astros right now.
Also, we're talking about wanting to lock in a top-level deal.
I just saw this.
We have some breaking news.
We do, and we'll get to it on the other side. Massive contract given out. Oh, boy. Someone here in town is going to get paid in a couple of years based off of this one. Kalan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
What's up, my friends at LaBerge Lake Charles, the sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles is your go-to spot for betting and watching all your favorite Texas teams. They've got the 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks, 3 over-the-counter terminals. And while you're there, look, you can play blackjack. They've got roulette. They've got slot machines in there as well. In there as well. There's great food. There's great drinks. You can get Carbox Crawfordbach on tap. It's an awesome place, a great environment. We'll be out there at the end of August. We'll have a couple weekend trips coming up throughout the year as well to watch the Texans or to watch some college football on a Saturday. And you can become a Penn Play Reward member right now. All you have to do is download the app. You'll enter your date of birth. You'll be all set and ready to go. You can win up to $500 in Penn cash every single week. If you're not a member, just go to PennPlaySports.com/cover5 or download the app today. Must be 21 up. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. LaBerge Lake Charles, the best place to go and bet on your Texas teams.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
High fly ball, goodbye. One pitch to Springer, and we're tied again.
What a game that was. Game 5. Of the 2017 World Series. Sorry, I keep on getting distracted.
I thought maybe that was Pitbull.
I thought it was like Pitbull at the Olympics.
It was Howie Mandel.
And then I thought it was Vin Diesel.
Yeah, it's just some ball guy up there. Screw these French people and they're stupid.
Howie Mandel. I didn't know he was French.
They're just giving me ADD up here. Anyway, guys, we have some interesting news in the National Football League. The Miami Dolphins have signed Tua Tagovailoa to an extension, 4 years, $212.4 million, $161.7 million in guarantees. It is the largest four-year deal in NFL history, very specific, but the agent didn't feel so great saying that. It's the largest deal for a quarterback in NFL history. Deshaun Watson's contract, 5 years, $230 million, fully guaranteed. So Tua got paid by the Miami Dolphins, and my gut reaction, Joe, sorry, I think they're going to come to regret this. I think that Tua is one of those quarterbacks that is certainly good and is better than not having Tua to have a Tua. But I also feel like Tua is somebody who lends himself to getting hurt a lot because he's a smaller quarterback. And on top of that, I don't think he's ever going to be one of the top 8 quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think you need to have one of those to win a Super Bowl.
Do you think there's going to be a team that stops doing this eventually?
It's a great question. It seems like every single team is so scared of the unknown that they're willing to pay their quarterback that they're clearly not that sold on. And I think just how long it took them to give this deal is proof that the Dolphins, they might like Tua, but they're not that excited about Tua.
On a per-year basis, Tua Tagovailoa is now the third highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Joe Burrow at $55 million. Trevor Lawrence is $55 million. Tua is 53.1, and then Jared Goff, 53. So, like, that's... Those the four highest-paid quarterbacks on a per-year basis are Joe Burrow, makes sense, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, and Jared Goff. That's crazy. Like, I'm with you. Like, this is a deal that they're going to regret. I'm curious what the guarantees look like, how much that's up front versus how much of that is they can get out of after the third year. And just maybe they only stuck with him for 3 years. But this is just – I just don't understand. I don't understand how you do this, and if you're Dak Prescott, you're a happy person. And Jordan Love, you're so happy right now. They're gonna each get $53 million at least.
The Dak one I wonder about, and we'll talk about what Jerry Jones had to say after finally showing up to Cowboys training camp after, you know, his little paternity suit deal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, CJ Stroud's gonna get paid too, man.
Aaron Wilson is saying 167. Guaranteed.
Okay.
So 167 out of the 212.
Well, so he's going to be, I mean, that's all 4 years. Like, yeah. Maybe that fourth year they can it's get partial. Out of it. But, yeah. I mean, just the guy that, I know he was healthy last year. It's just, it's really hard to pay a quarterback who, when all I think about him is him, like, seizing up on the field. Like, from his concussions. Like,
yeah, that one was really scary.
It's all I can think about. And, like, the idea you're going to pay a quarterback who's got real traumatic brain issues. This much money just seems like a very bad decision.
Especially when, on top of that, he has shown, much like the Dolphins seem to do every single year, that at the end of the year, they're just not the same for whatever reason. And look, they have the best weapons in football, you could argue. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have two of the fastest players we've ever seen in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. A-Chain in the backfield, along with, who's that other running back that they have?
Oh, Raheem Mostert.
He scores all the touchdowns. Yeah, man. I don't get this one. But, hey, Miami Dolphins, they paid a guy, and I am all for guys earning that money.
What do you think CJ's contract is like? $70 million?
I don't know.
$65 million?
I don't know. I leave the number. The numbers talk to me, Joe. It just doesn't really do anything for me. It's going to be a lot.
Yeah, it's just like it's
more deals to come. Yeah, like we got two to three more years of deals coming before Stroud gets paid. So, yeah, it's going to be a bleep ton. The NFL just continues to go upwards in trajectory in terms of revenue and profits and everything.
65?
I think 65 sounds about right. I mean, it's just crazy to think that that's going to be one player.
What if he pulled the most hardo move ever? He signed a $1 contract for 1 year so that they can get somebody else back on the books.
Yeah.
Like, bring Stephon Diggs back after a couple of seasons for just one more year. One last ride.
Trade for Ja'Marr Chase. There we go.
Hell yeah, dude.
Because, you know, Joe Burrow's making all that money. Mm-hmm. They can't pay him.
Shut up. Did I sound white when I said that? I know a little bit. I know I did. Hey, by the way, CJ Stroud, again, he's impressing everybody. Chris Long hosts the Greenlight podcast. I think it's a very fun podcast. I like Chris Long a lot. I think he's a good host, considering he's an ex-player especially, too. Like, really good show. He had Bobby Slowick on, the Texans offensive coordinator, and he and Bobby talked about CJ.
What do you think is the thing about him that stands out to you that makes him not a 22, 23-year-old kid? Because when I watch him, it's apparent to me that he's like a veteran.
Yeah, it ties right to that tireless competitor and worker to the point where he probably needs to get more sleep. Like really, he'll be up watching film, and this isn't even game plan time. And when we're talking right now in training camp, he's sending texts to receivers, to coaches, to everybody from film, of clips, of how he wants to make some adjustments, things he's thinking through the course of plays. And it's like 11:30 p.m., man, go to sleep, CJ, come on, man. So, but he works, and it's endless. He cares a lot. He wants to win at everything. He wants to be the best at everything, which I think you would agree is a common trait with all the guys that become fantastic football players. And he really embraces that, not to mention he's extremely talented on top of all of that.
Texas Swarm!
Sleep!
That too.
I also, Bobby Slowick, it's 11:30. Go to bed. Oh, come on. Come on, Bobby. You sound old there. I know practice is early in the morning,
and that's
but
coming from a parent. Damn.
You sound a little old there, Bobby Slowick.
What time do you go to bed, Joe? I mean, I know juniors sometimes keep
like
you
one?
Up. 1 a.m.?
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Because I'm at work. I'm with him. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to bed. And then the wife goes to sleep. And then that's when Call of Duty happens.
That's Joe time.
Yeah. That's me time.
Joe time is midnight to one.
Yeah, I was going to ask. How much time is it?
It's somewhere between. Usually it's like 11:30. Meal 11.
Okay.
Depends on how late Dana works that night.
Gotcha. So if you watch, you play video games, you do anything else, do you ever cheat on your spouse watching a TV show?
No.
Sean's laughing, but that is a big thing. No, like some couples get mad.
Was funny. The phrasing was funny. Do you ever cheat on your wife watching a TV show?
That's what it's called, isn't it?
I've never heard it called that, but I like
it. Watch cheat, I guess. Should I call it that? No, people get mad when you watch something without them. Yeah, like, why can't I watch it without them?
No, you don't have to call it cheating on your wife.
Well, what are the reasons that I feel like I might be single forever and not hate it all that much, assuming that occasionally, things going on these beds in the Olympics, is because the idea that I have to wait for somebody else to do something with me, 35 years into the game, I don't really want to have to wait on somebody else. I'm a very selfish person.
Like, I see where, like, Dana doesn't watch Game of Thrones. So I kind of enjoy that I don't have to.
You can watch it whenever you want.
I can watch it whenever I want. Like,
that might be ideal. Just,
yeah.
You watch different.
Because, like, we don't have any shows that we're watching right now that I would feel the need to do that. But, like, if she wasn't home, if we watched Game of Thrones together and she wasn't home, I would watch it without her.
Mm.
I would just watch it again.
That's cheating on your wife. Television wise,
or TV cheating,
TV cheating, my bad.
Cheater,
TV cheating. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't wait.
Yeah, I hate that. That it's and I've heard like couples get mad at each other over stuff like this.
Well, just lie.
Sometimes when you watch a television show with somebody else too, they ask questions the whole time, or they make witty comments the whole time.
Okay, so that's
or comments that they think are witty the whole time.
That's me.
We have or they spoil the plot the whole time.
Dana asks questions when we're watching a show that I've watched before. Like she's like asking me to spoil the show, and I'm like, I don't know how to answer that question without ruining the whole conversation, like without spoiling it. So I'm just like, don't know, or I just ignore her.
That's good.
The Olympic procession is still ongoing. We're watching it on the TV in studio. Wait, Puerto Rico is part of the United States of America. Why don't we annex their team? We annex their territory. Those should be Americans.
Yeah.
I recognize Puerto Rico as a state. Maybe our government doesn't, I do.
That means a lot to them, I'm sure.
Yeah, a lot of my best friends are Puerto Rican. I'm not kidding on that front.
But they probably like having their own team.
That's how we get Carlos Correa on Team USA. Mm-hmm. Boom, right there.
That's how we do it.
You know,
World Baseball Classic team just got a lot better. Wow.
A lot better. Yeah, I mean, I would just, you know, let them have their own team, though. They can play here if they want. They could choose. Like Joel Embiid. I know he's not from Puerto Rico, but he chose America.
There's a video just like today of Tyrese Halliburton telling Joel Embiid he wants to see his passport. And then Joel Embiid's waving an American flag, and Tyrese Halliburton's like, give me your passport right now.
Do you think everyone's booing North Korea as they come in?
You should be allowed to boo.
North Korea is trying to steal state secrets of France right now in this boat as we speak. They're breathing all this freedom, and they're like, we need to stop it.
Like when England came up, do you think they no way they cheered.
That's where they all started pooping in the river like they said they were going to do for the mayor.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu!
Do we need to dump that?
No, that means sacred lightning.
Oh, wow.
Yep, there you go.
Is that really what that means?
Yeah.
What is it?
Sacred lightning.
So, what's the context of it?
It's probably like a GD.
Okay, I'd
imagine.
So. Yeah, that makes
basically
sense.
it means holy God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so it's more of an.
It means holy blue.
Oh my God! OMG,
that means it's holy God.
Makes sense.
That's basically that way they're not being sacrilegious. Mm. It's basically us saying like Jesus H. Murphy. That's what my dad does.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry. We're all over the place. There's like a fashion show going on. There was a really hot girl that was wearing like an All France flag. I don't know.
There's some break dancing.
We might need to change the channel. I might be a little too distracted by this. Hey! Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're continuing to be nostalgic with the Astros and Dodgers playing each other this weekend. Some more highlights from 2017 World Series on deck. And we do this segment for ratings every now and then. Because look, it's July. We need those numbies. No, we ain't talking about Olympics. We're talking about the boys. Stick around.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The end of Game 5, the greatest game in the history of baseball played here in Houston, Texas.
It's got to be at the top.
It is my, of all the baseball games I remember watching, I remember that game more fondly than any of them. And that includes like seeing the Red Sox win the World Series for the first time.
Well, even if you were just totally neutral,
it's that game was insane.
Yeah, it's an absolutely electric baseball game.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought the year before, I thought Game 7 in 2016 was pretty wild with the rain delay. But then Game 5, it trumped it, and it wasn't even close.
It's every inning, or every half inning, one team would score four runs.
Yeah.
And then the other team would respond with a three-run home run. And then it would just – the game would constantly get tied. It was like a rubber band back and forth. It was an insane game.
I don't want to read through this whole list, but this says – this random website has it at 11, and there's no chance that that's correct.
11?
How many in the top 10 are, like, Yankees? Black and white times?
Oh.
No. That too. I was going to say, like, there's probably, like, a 1945 World Series.
How many of these involve segregation?
Only
post Jackie Robinson, please.
Yeah, there's two from the 50s in here.
Okay.
Most of it's modern, but – a lot of them, like, some of these games, like, I don't remember the...
One of them probably has the Willie Mays catch, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has, Bobby Thompson, hit a walk-off home run for the New York Giants. That's actually something that happens.
This one has, like, it has number 10, which this is a great game, too. It's 2001 Game 7, Schilling versus Clemens, Diamondbacks, Yankees, when Luis Gonzalez walked it off.
Ooh, yeah, I like that one.
Walk-off Game 7s. That's...
Especially
it helps.
Yeah.
It helps you a lot.
New York couldn't even win a World Series after 9/11. Damn. Yep. I was rooting so hard against New York there. Like Boston just stays Boston all the time.
There's no.
Well, because that was before 04, too. So you're
exactly
as bitter as it could be.
Oh, I was pretty hyped about that World Series. No doubt about it. I mean, here's the other thing, too. Like, no one had won in my lifetime at that point. That was when the Patriots hadn't even won. So I was taking my little victories where I could get, which was like Ray Bourque, a former Bruins defenseman winning with the Colorado Avalanche. He got a parade in Boston.
That'll never be top.
He got a parade.
You don't know that story?
Boston was such a loser sports town in the 90s. It's insane.
I didn't know that
story. The Patriots making the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 31, was about as good as it got. The Red Sox had some good, fun players, but they underachieved. The Celtics hired Rick Pitino. Oh, my God. What a disaster that was. And, the Bruins were always cheapies. So there you go.
It's crazy that they'd only – like, the 90s was only bad for Boston. It wasn't like they had never won anything.
No, but they went from 86 to 01 without winning a bleep.
Yeah, but that's
15 years.
Yeah, that's not that much time.
But for a team, for a town like that, that's a long time. Just saying.
I guess.
The town that cares about sports more than anything, I think that's a long time.
It's the only town, it's the only city in the country where you can say 15 years is a long time between championships.
Philadelphia, probably. I think Philadelphia was pretty close.
Philadelphia was...
Oh, wait, no, they had 08 with
like
Phillies.
They had like a million.
Mm-mm, not really.
Yeah, you have the Phillies and what? Yeah, you said 08?
08, but before that.
Since 2000, it's the Phillies and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Two.
Oh, duh, Eagles.
No, but since 08, like going backwards, is it like the Sixers in the 80s?
I don't know if the Sixers really won that much in the 80s.
Well, they won one. The they won one in the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about titles, period, in that city.
Philly doesn't have many. I mean, there's a reason that there's a statue of Rocky.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They went a million years without winning.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm not sure. There's a lot I've learned about you doing this show together. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that bothers you the most in life is that Rocky has a statue.
Doesn't bother me the most.
No. I
there's a lot of things that bother me.
It's
more
like
than that.
Maybe top 10.
I don't even think it's top 10. This is just my defense mechanism whenever my Philadelphian family comes after me, because they do this a lot. Like they're getting chesty during the Astros Phillies World Series. Like the Phillies are the best. Like, you guys had like 83 wins. Shut up. Shut up. Some random Philadelphians. I was on a date downtown Houston with a lady. And she decides to get chesty with these people wearing Philly stuff, and they get chesty with her. And I'm like, you guys have 85 wins. You're lucky to be here, okay? Focus on football. That's all you actually really care about. You don't know anything about baseball. I barely do, but at least I can claim that I do, because I've watched the Astros the last 7 years. Hey, by the way, sorry, this was an all-over-the-place kind of segment.
It's okay.
We do this every now and then to try to get ratings. It's time for another rousing edition of Dallas Cowboys content. Let's play with the boys.
I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
Jerry Jones finally showed up at Cowboys training camp. And oh boy, it was a great press conference.
It was something.
I actually listened to the whole thing. He quoted Benjamin Franklin pros and cons lists at one point. I mean, it was a doozy. The best part was when he compared himself to Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
In my life, played option quarterback so many times and wait until the last leaf on the tree. And I, if you want to picture an option, pure option quarterback going out to the sideline, I have run that ball and kept it and not hand it off to the back, not pitch it back, not throw it. And I have run that thing all the way out to the sideline before I made the decision. Because I couldn't get whatever it took to, it wasn't right for me to make the decision. And so what our fans, what you're seeing, what we deal with is we're buying time. We're option quarterbacking, and we're going on out toward the sideline, and we haven't handed it off. We haven't pitched it. We're trying to make our mind up what to do. Does that sound like Mahomes to you? A little bit? Okay. It do. It really do. So having said that, I'm just trying to give you a description here. That's what we're doing. And we're waiting for something to happen in the morning.
I don't know who I enjoy going off script more. Jerry's just riffing up there. Between he and Donald Trump, I do not know who I enjoy riffing more. Donald Trump had like a Hannibal Lecter reference the other day, which made me laugh very hard.
I think he got it wrong, too.
No, I think he actually did get it right. It was just a weird place to say, like, you know, they're calling me Hannibal Lecter. I'm someone you want to have over for dinner.
Does anyone know what the question was?
No, I don't. Jerry was really on one in this press conference.
Is this your handwriting?
No. I didn't take notes on this. No, I didn't take notes on this. What I do know is that Jerry was asked, I think, about a lack of moves, and that's what he had to say. He also, this is him trying to explain what he meant when he said all in at the beginning of the offseason.
Here, I'm all in. I'm all in. Sometimes being all in means you narrow. You remove the months out here that are in the future. And you narrow it down to where all we're talking about is right now in the next playoff season. And that's it for everybody.
So they're all in because all they're talking about is training camp.
Yeah.
And the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm telling you, he had another all-in answer, too, in this press conference, and he is just making things up on the fly, completely riffing. It's insane.
I'm glad he's back. Well, it's going to be a sad day when we don't have Jerry Jones content.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Like, it is a content factor.
Cowboys fans don't know what they have. They get mad all about, oh, Jerry's so meddlesome. He hasn't been that bad, honestly. There's worse organizations for sure. He's been a little meddlesome, but there's worse organizations.
If anything, like, he hasn't been meddlesome enough. He hasn't been rash enough. He keeps these with coaches.
Jason Garrett.
Yeah, he keeps these bum coaches around.
So he was asked about why he didn't give Mike McCarthy, Sean, an extension, and he said, because they lost to Green Bay in the playoffs. I think that's a perfectly acceptable reason to not give Mike McCarthy an extension. Yeah. What? This idea like of a lame duck coach not being like good is so stupid.
It's the dumbest thing in sports. Because it happens across the sports, yeah, too, where like every coach is like, well, I can't coach on the last year of my contract. They won't listen to me.
Yeah.
It's like, but every player can play on their last deal.
Yeah, it's like for some reason they... Coaches, in their mind, think that they're going to lose the locker room if they're on a lame duck year. Because the players, they know it means the organization doesn't believe in the coach, so why should I believe in a coach? It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, but every coach gets fired with 2 years left on their deal now.
Yeah.
So now, if you have 2 years left on your deal, is that basically a lame duck now? Like, if you're just not constantly extended, if you don't have a five-year deal at all times.
You don't have a lifetime deal with pension?
If you're not a tenured lame professor,
duck. Yeah,
you're on the hot seat,
lame
buddy.
Duck professor.
I'm glad he shouldn't be a lame duck coach because he should have been a fired coach.
Yeah.
But, McCarthy?
Yeah.
I don't think that's on McCarthy, their loss.
I thought he was getting fired because I thought they were going to get Belichick.
Well, speaking of Bill Belichick, right after that press conference was done, here's what Jerry Jones had to say off mic about Bill Belichick. I think he may be the best coach, certainly of my time in the NFL, and I happen to be part of a team that had the great Tom Landry and fired him, and I'd put him right there. Bill's a friend and great coach. I'd root for the Cowboys if Bill Belichick was the head coach.
I do wonder how they work together.
Sorry. I think they could.
It just doesn't feel like two guys who want too much control.
Man, I don't think... If Jerry's got Bill there, even if Bill's in his advanced age and not a good roster evaluator, Jerry's going to step to the side for Bill.
Yeah, I think Bill freaking Belichick is the guy who you're okay handing the wheel to. Of anyone.
Yeah.
Of anyone on the planet. Because like even Jimmy Johnson, who won two Super Bowls with the Cowboys, he wasn't regarded as obviously the greatest coach in NFL history. Like, there's a little bit more cachet even with Bill Belichick than there was with the last time that he gave a coach any modicum of control. I guess Parcells had a little bit, but since he really handed over the wheel and did a lot of winning.
Yeah, I think Bill will be a coach in the NFL next year for sure. I just don't know if it'll be Dallas. I still feel like Philly's up there too.
I will have mixed feelings about him with Philly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you hear the Kyle Shanahan thing that Kyle Shanahan reportedly offered Bill?
I did. We haven't touched on that.
Yeah.
Man. I wonder if the Niners have Bill on
crazy.
That.
Crazy. Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick on one staff.
Oh, my God.
Wild.
No, that would be the, I mean.
Paul's like,
they'd go undefeated, I bet.
Yeah. You'd root for every team if they had Bill Belichick, except for the Eagles.
And the Titans.
Yeah, I wouldn't root for. If he was on the Titans, I would. He might be dead.
What a hilarious thought of just him in the like Titans hoodie.
Oh,
yeah.
God, those ugly
him and Mayo Boy just like hanging
stop.
Out.
I'm going to, I have to puke. 713-780-3776. I'm going to go puke in that trash can. That is Playing with the Boys. It's generally, we just do it as a segment whenever Jerry Jones talks. I like Jerry Jones. All y'all haters, you wish you had a Jerry Jones owner because he's fun. Anyway, coming up next on Gallant and George. A little garbage time, and one last check-in with the Olympics as the United States is about to be entered on the River Seine. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is America, Ken. If you don't know the facts, then you gotta chill.
That's right, Carlos! Carlos Correa might not be with the Houston Astros this weekend at Minute Maid Park, but he'll always be right here. Just beat my chest. In my heart, in Joe's heart, in Sean's heart, in everyone's
always.
Heart. Carlos Correa is one of us forever.
Bring him back.
I hope he comes to this series. Is he injured?
I don't think so right now.
It is always a fair question to ask.
I'm okay. In 15 years, I'll be okay if Carlos Correa is the shadow general manager of the Houston Rockets. Yeah. I'll say it. Yeah. I'll be okay. I think I'd be okay if the Skull and Bones Society that runs the Astros goes from the Killer Bees to Correa and Altuve.
And Bregman.
Yeah. Yeah. Get the three-headed monster in there.
Correa delivered in the playoffs. Bregman delivered in the playoffs. Yeah. Altuve delivered in the playoffs.
Those guys have rings.
Mm. Yeah. They know. My favorite part of the Olympic ceremony just happened.
What's that?
The live look into Tahiti for the surfers.
Oh.
Because that's where the surfing's at.
Oh, they can't surf in France?
Apparently not.
I guess the water would be kind of
Head up
cold.
Head up to
Ibiza?
I was going to say Normandy.
Spain. Yeah, Normandy.
That's the only beach I know in France.
That's sacrilegious. You can't do that. All right, time for a little garbage time to get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Some important Olympic stories to discuss. People have been wondering if the cardboard, very environmental friendly beds in the Olympic Village are going to be able to handle the hanky-panky that's going to be going down over the next couple of weeks. Guess what, guys? It can. There's going to be lots of banging going on at the Olympics. Per authorities of the IOC, up to 4 people can jump up and down on these beds without it breaking.
Okay.
Wow.
So they're just like, hey, guys, when you expand your horizons, keep it to 4.
Mm-hmm. A menage a quattro. I don't know no, what 4 in French is.
Quatre.
It's what?
Un, deux, trois, quatre.
Oh,
cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf, dix.
You could be speaking like...
I just said 1 through 10.
Okay. You could be speaking the
worst things
the language they speak in Game of Thrones. I'd be nodding along. That French, yeah. I know the same amount.
Un peu. Je parle un peu de français, mais je ne doute pas le français depuis que j'ai 19 ans. There you go.
Do I have to dump any of that?
No. I just said, like, I speak French, but I haven't studied it since I was 19. Boom.
I do appreciate that you're keeping it.
I'm keeping it PG.
You're keeping it to. You always keep it PG.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Also, the problem for the Olympics is that the women are complaining that they're not matching with enough people on Tinder.
Oh, really?
Here's the problem. Tinder is not a good app anymore. I speak from experience. I never get any matches on Tinder when I go back on them. Mm-hmm. I might have to go back on the dates because the apps again, because the girl that I thought things were going somewhere with, she ghosted me, definitely. So bummed out by that. But Bumble, Hinge, that's where the action is.
So they just they make the move.
Yeah, they got
to Hinge.
They got to use different apps.
At this point, I'm surprised there's not just like an Olympic Tinder.
Yeah. Who?
Just like for
great
them,
point.
Like,
create an app.
A special app for the athletes.
The problem is that the young people these days are just a lot more awkward about going up to people and introducing themselves to them. So,
athletesmeet.com.
Yeah.
Paul trying to get in.
I will definitely try to get in and getting rejected.
Drop your credentials. You have to drop some credentials.
You know what? I don't have issues with this man. But Jake Asman being on the dating app Raya and me not being on the dating app Raya makes my blood boil still.
I just don't understand how it's possible.
He got on. He's got more YouTube followers than me. I'm a nobody, Joe. I'm a nobody.
You mean somebody? Somebody.
Nobody
to me.
Likes me.
He can't get you the invite?
Yeah, isn't it like referral or something?
Yeah, he hasn't. And he hasn't.
He won't do it?
He hasn't invited me.
Doesn't want that competition.
Doesn't want that competition.
Scared to compete.
Mm-hmm. It's like Rocky not wanting to fight against Clever Lang.
I just figured like there'd be a height requirement for that app or something.
She's not that small, Mr. Short Stuff.
Jake's shorter than I am.
Wait, what?
No, actually, I don't know if
he's definitely not shorter than you, Joe. Joe, there are very few. No offense.
I know. Hey, but I'm married. He's not. Tinder worked for me.
That's true. Was it a Tinder? Is your wife a Tinder wife?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. A Tinder wife.
Is your wife a Tinder wife?
Listen, I'm a little punchy right now. I'm tired. I'm bringing you all this riveting training camp content.
Wait. Joe, what did you just say?
Tinderella.
Very good.
I like
that's it. How we end the week.
Yep.
And on that note.
Bye.
So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. For Sean Mapes and Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. Killer Bees are next. Peace.